Welcome to Base by Base, the paper cast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. All right, let's jump straight into a condition that silently impacts millions globally, often without them even knowing it, atrial fibrillation, or AF.
Right. And it's not just a minor blip, is it?
No, definitely not. It's actually the most common heart rhythm disorder out there. We're talking about, you know, disorganized heartbeats.
Which can lead to some pretty scary symptoms. Palpitations, certainly, but also reduced exercise capacity.
And even more seriously, complications like stroke. It's a big deal.
It really is. And the scale is just staggering. The Global Burden of Disease study back in 2019, they estimated nearly 60 million people worldwide living with AF.
60 million? Wow.
Yeah. And that translates to something like 8.4 million disability-adjusted life years every single year. It's genuinely an increasing epidemic, especially in places like North America and Europe.
Those numbers really hit home. But imagine if we could sort of flip the script on something so widespread.
How do you mean?
Well, what if we could use that incredible, unique combination of your genetic blueprint, your DNA, and the proteins actually circulating in your body to predict your risk for AF before it even develops, and then maybe even tailor prevention and treatment just for you?
So uncovering those hidden signals, those molecular clues, moving from just reacting to the disease to being proactive, truly personalized.
Exactly. That's the promise here. To fundamentally revolutionize how we understand and hopefully manage this condition.
A really exciting prospect.
And today we're diving into some truly groundbreaking work that brings us a lot closer to that future. We want to celebrate the efforts of a global research team led by researchers from the University of Pennsylvania and Karolinska Institute.
Mm-hmm. They've really pushed our understanding of atrial fibrillation forward significantly.
So let's set the stage a bit. Despite AF being so common, what's the core problem researchers have been facing?
Well, it's kind of surprising, but we still don't fully grasp the precise molecular mechanisms driving it. You know, what's actually going wrong at the biological level?
And that means we don't know the best therapeutic targets either.
Exactly. There's this urgent need to uncover its biological basis so we can get much better at predicting who's at risk, preventing it, and of course, treating it effectively when it does happen.
We know lifestyle factors play a role, sure. But the genetic side is becoming clearer, right?
Absolutely. The genetic contribution is increasingly recognized. Previous studies, these genome-wide association studies, or GDAS, they've already identified over 100 genetic regions, or loci, linked to AF risk.
Okay, so think of your DNA like a huge instruction manual. We knew a few page numbers or loci where typos increased risk.
Right. A good start, but far from the whole story. And here's the critical gap. Most of those earlier studies focus overwhelmingly on people of European ancestry.
Which means we've been missing potentially crucial insights from other populations around the world.
Precisely. We had significant blind spots, blanks in our understanding of AF's global genetic landscape.
And that's where this study comes in. It really tackles that gap head on. They conducted this massive, multi-population genetic analysis.
But they didn't just stop at the genes. They cleverly combined that genetic data with proteomics, the study of proteins.
Ah, looking at the proteins too. Why is that important?
It gives you a much clearer, more refined picture. Genes provide the blueprint, but proteins are often the functional molecules doing the work. Looking at both gives you a richer understanding of risk factors and potential drug targets. It's a real deep dive into both the genetic and protein landscape.
Okay, so methodology. How did they actually approach this? It sounds complex.
It was incredibly comprehensive. They started with a cross-population GWAS meta-analysis, basically pooling genetic data from many studies. And then they followed up with extensive downstream analyses to really dig into what the data meant.
And you said massive earlier. How big are we talking?
We are talking huge. The GWAS meta-analysis included data from over 2 million individuals.
2 million.
Yeah. And within that, 168,007 confirmed AF cases. But crucially, they made a real point of including diverse populations, European, East Asian, African, and admixed American ancestries.
That diversity is key, isn't it? Filling in those gaps we mentioned.
Absolutely. It's a huge step forward for making genetic research more equitable and, frankly, more accurate globally.
So they have all this genetic data, these potential risk locations or loci. How do they figure out which specific genes at those locations were likely involved?
Good question. They used a very systematic framework. not just one method, but they integrated 6 different computational approaches to find the most confident links between a gene, the specific instruction, and the risk locus it sits in.
Okay, so multiple lines of evidence pointing to the same gene.
Exactly. And once they had this list of prioritized genes, they used something called pathway enrichment analysis.
What does that tell you?
It helps identify the biological jobs or pathways these genes are involved in. So it confirmed known links to things like muscle contraction and heart development, which we expected for AF.
Right.
But, and this is really interesting, it also flagged some new potentially surprising connections, pathways we hadn't strongly associated with AF before.
Intriguing. We'll come back to those. They also used a technique called Mendelian randomization, or MMR. Sounds fancy.
It's powerful. Think of it like this. The genetic variants you inherit are essentially random, like a natural lottery at conception. MR uses these variants as natural experiments.
Natural experiments.
Yeah. It helps figure out if an exposure, say smoking, or the level of a certain protein actually causes a disease like AF rather than just being correlated with it. It helps get around some of the biases you see in standard observational studies.
Ah, so moving beyond correlation to potential causation.
Yeah.
That's crucial for finding things we can actually change.
Exactly. They used it here to pinpoint modifiable risk factors, lifestyle things, and also which circulating proteins might have a causal role in AF.
Got it. And lastly, they developed some predictive scores.
Right. 2 main ones. A polygenic risk score, the PGS, built from all the combined genetic data, and a protein score, PRO-S, which they constructed using sophisticated machine learning on individual-level protein data.
And they tested these scores.
Critically, yes. They tested them in independent patient data sets to make sure they actually worked in predicting AF risk in different groups of people. That validation is key for real-world use.
Okay, that's a massive amount of work. Let's get to the payoff. What were the key findings? What did they actually discover?
Well, first off, the sheer number of genetic loci they identified. A remarkable 525 genetic locations significantly associated with AF.
525. That's way more than the 100 or so we knew before.
A huge increase. It gives us an incredibly detailed map of the genetic landscape. Now, most of these, 483, were found mainly in the European ancestry group, which was the largest.
Okay.
But here's a really crucial finding. 2 specific loci near genes called PITX2 and ZFHX3 were strongly associated with AF across all 4 diverse populations they studied.
So those 2 seem universally important regardless of your ancestry.
That's the takeaway. They represent a common genetic thread for AF risk across humanity. They also highlighted 6 specific genetic variants that had particularly strong effects, increasing risk by over 30%. These are near genes like SRCS3 and PLD1, definitely areas needing more research.
Fascinating. So universal factors and some really strong individual signals. What about the mechanisms? Did the pathway analysis turn up anything unexpected?
It did. Beyond confirming the known roles of muscle development and heart contraction, it revealed some surprising insights. For example, pathways related to the cellular response to transforming growth factor beta, or TGFV.
TGF, what's that involved in?
It's heavily involved in tissue repair and, crucially, fibrosis scarring. This suggests AF might not just be an electrical rhythm problem, but perhaps also involves structural changes, like scarring, in the heart tissue itself.
Wow, that could change how we think about treating it.
It really could. They also found links to artery formation and how cells communicate. It definitely opens up new avenues for understanding the biology.
And did they see differences between the populations?
Yes, that was another important finding. They looked at how AF genetically correlates with other circulatory conditions, things like abdominal aortic aneurysm or deep vein thrombosis.
Okay.
And they found significant differences in these correlations between European and African ancestry populations. It suggests that the way AF links up with other health problems might actually vary depending on ancestry.
So the comorbidities might have different genetic roots in different groups.
Potentially, yes. It really highlights why we need diverse study populations and why a one-size-fits-all approach might not work for managing related conditions.
Makes sense. Now, what about those modifiable risk factors identified using Mendelian randomization? Did it confirm what we generally suspect?
It did, but with much stronger causal evidence. Things like obesity measured by BMI and waist-to-hip ratio type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, even high levels of thyroid-stimulating hormone, TSH, were all causally linked to higher AF risk.
And lifestyle factors.
Yep. smoking, alcohol consumption, even things maybe less obvious like high amounts of leisure screen time and insomnia showed causal links to increased AF risk.
So this really reinforces the importance of lifestyle changes for prevention, but now with stronger genetic backing for causality.
Exactly. It provides clear, actionable targets for prevention efforts that individuals can discuss with their doctors.
Okay. And MR also looked at proteins, right? Anything exciting there for potential treatments?
Definitely. They identified 28 circulating proteins with potential causal roles in AF. And here's the exciting part for drug development. 7 of these proteins already have drugs that target them.
Drugs already exist.
Yes, drugs either in clinical trials or even approved for other conditions, just not specifically for AF yet. This could potentially fast-track the repurposing of these drugs for AF treatment.
That could save years of development time. Huge potential.
Absolutely. But there was also a really intriguing paradox they found with one specific protein, NT-proBNP.
NT-proBNP. I know that one. Doctors often measure it in heart failure patients, and it's usually high in AF patients too, right?
Exactly. It's often elevated, and we use it as a marker. But here's the twist. The MR analysis found that genetic liability to AF was actually associated with lower predicted levels of NT-proBNP.
Lower. That seems completely backward.
It does. But what it suggests is really profound. It suggests the high levels we see in AF patients might actually be a consequence of the disease, the heart being under stress, rather than a primary cause driving the AF itself.
Whoa. So the high levels are a result, not a cause. That's a major aha moment for how we interpret that biomarker.
A complete game changer for diagnostics and maybe even monitoring. It shows how genetics can help untangle cause and effect.
Absolutely incredible. Okay, let's talk about risk prediction. You mentioned the PGS and PRO-S scores. How much better are they?
Significantly better. The new polygenic risk score, the PGS, derived from this massive, diverse data set, showed superior predictive performance compared to older scores based mostly on European data.
How much better? Could you quantify that?
Sure. They often use a metric called AUC, area under the curve. Higher is better, with 1.0 being perfect prediction. This new PGS achieved an AUC of 0.780 compared to around 0.767 for previous scores. It might sound small, but it's a definite improvement in accuracy.
And what does that mean for an individual?
Well, individuals in the top 10% for this new PGS had about a 6-fold increased risk of developing AF compared to those in the bottom 10%. That's a substantial difference in risk stratification. But here's the real kicker. When they combined the genetic score, PGS, with the protein score,
proteomics approach.
Exactly. Combining them significantly boosted the predictive power. The combined score reached an impressive AUC of 0.823.
Wow, 0.823, that's getting pretty good.
It's a very strong indicator that looking at both genes and proteins together gives you a much clearer picture of someone's individual risk. It's a major leap forward for prediction.
So stepping back, this study has really refined our whole picture of AF genetics, hasn't it? Finding both those universal risk factors and population-specific ones.
It's like sharpening the focus dramatically. Going from a somewhat blurry understanding to a much higher resolution image of the genetic architecture.
And it really hammers home the need for more diversity in genetic research, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It underscores that urgent need to get the full picture, to ensure discoveries benefit everyone. We simply must increase representation from diverse populations in future studies. We're still missing pieces otherwise.
Definitely. And the new biological insights, like the TGF pathway link, that opens up completely new therapeutic avenues, right?
Exciting new avenues, yes. Thinking about fibrosis, about cell communication, it suggests potential new drug targets and antiarrhythmic strategies we hadn't considered before, or as we discussed, repurposing existing drugs targeting some of those causal proteins.
And on the prevention side, the solid causal evidence for those modifiable risk factors, obesity, blood pressure, smoking, even sleep.
It gives really clear, actionable guidance. It empowers individuals and doctors with stronger evidence to target prevention efforts effectively. Lifestyle changes, medical interventions, we now have more causal backing for their importance in reducing AF incidence.
Which all leads towards that goal of personalized medicine. The improved prediction using combined genetic and protein scores seems like a huge step.
It really is. It opens the door for much more tailored prevention and management. Imagine a future where your doctor can calculate your specific risk using your unique genetic and protein profile and then devise a strategy just for you.
That's the future we're heading towards. Now, of course, no study is perfect. Were there limitations acknowledged?
Yes, and it's important to mention them. Despite their efforts, the statistical power for the non-European ancestry groups was still lower just because the sample sizes were smaller. So some population-specific associations might still have been missed. We need even larger diverse cohorts.
Okay, so still more work to do there.
Definitely. Also, some of the gene assignments relied on computational predictions. While sophisticated, these ideally need follow-up experimental validation in the lab to confirm the biological function.
Right, the computational work points the way, but lab work needs to confirm it.
Exactly. This study was primarily in silico, using computational methods. Functional studies are the crucial next step to confirm the real-world biological relevance.
Understood. So, wrapping up, what's the main take-home message from this huge undertaking?
I think the central insight is that this landmark cross-population study, by integrating massive genomic and proteomic data, has not only significantly broadened our understanding of AF's underlying biology, but has also delivered clear, actionable insights for prevention and potential new treatments.
And its key contribution.
Identifying those critical modifiable risk factors with causal evidence, finding novel protein targets for potential drugs, and, perhaps most excitingly for the future, dramatically enhancing individual risk prediction by combining genetic and protein scores. It's a powerful stride towards personalized medicine for AF.
It really sets the stage. So the big questions remain. What does this leap in predictive power truly mean for developing personalized prevention and treatment for atrial fibrillation down the road?
And perhaps broader still, how might these multi-omic approaches, looking at genes, proteins, maybe other omes together, transform how we understand and manage other complex diseases beyond AF?
Lots to think about. A truly fascinating deep dive.
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this analysis, the best way to support Base by Base is to subscribe or follow in your favorite podcast app and leave us a 5-star rating. It only takes a few seconds, but makes a huge difference in helping others discover the show. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, Base by Base.